This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi. Before we start, I always like to introduce a new member of the family.
Ah.
You've heard this tape for a long time.
That would be Mr. Tom Hanks.
That gets a workout.
Uh-huh. So from the Money Pit.
And this one gets a workout, Greg House. Right. Yeah. Well, we finally, I mean, we're so late to the party, but of course, Family Guy. I'm just telling you, get ready to welcome that to the family.
All right.
If the
only
part,
request
part
I would,
the pun.
The only other laugh that would probably be more annoying than that, I would request Steve-O. Steve-O from MTV.
From Jackass.
Well, you know, he's all over the internet because he's having a fight with his neighbor, and he does a lot of that kind of drug-induced,
not to be confused with.
Not even remotely close to that.
Okay, let's start today as requested last week from Larry King Live. Janet Jackson teaches Larry how to dance.
Very sad.
This is about a minute 45. You got to let it go in the middle where you just hear music.
All right.
Because it's visual.
All right. Right.
But it's very Larry.
Okay, Janet, show me a trick.
Should I show you a trick? You
want, no, show me a trick.
I'm supposed to show you.
Okay, go.
Okay.
Go.
Hand across here. And you're going to push out that way. But let me get away with this before you push. Don't hit me.
I don't know what I'm doing.
You're going to take this arm and you're going to bring it out this way, like that. And when you do that, you're going to move this leg out. You're going to move it out that way. Then you're going to put this hand down, bring this leg in. At the same time, come across your body with the other one, with the other hand. Come across, put this hand.
Nope.
Come
so
across your body. Wait.
Dance,
no.
Dance.
No, put this, relax this one. Bring this one across your chest.
Here we go.
What is this and dance called?
This is the dance in the video.
The dance of the video?
Yes. This is not what it's called, but that's the... Wait, no, you're not hugging yourself, Larry.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm trying to show you.
Okay. Let me watch you.
No, you don't want to
watch
me.
Let me watch you, and then maybe I'll get an idea.
There you go.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's all you do. You see?
You mentioned Larry's naked during this.
Okay, I do. This?
This, hit your chest and push your arm out.
Same arm.
Yeah, and let that leg go out at the same time. There you go. Bring this leg in and put that hand down.
Sure.
Separate your shoulders.
Hit your chest and push it out.
These demos.
No. Push this
jeans
out.
Jeans and suspenders.
And that's it.
Come here. Let's do this.
You sure hey. Gene Kelly started this way?
There's a reference.
Okay.
How's this?
Well, I'm fine. I'm following the clock.
What was she doing to him at the end there?
Giving him a prostate exam.
That was funny.
That's when he got real quiet.
You really got to watch it because I don't know what I'm doing. You would think with his arms, which get bent to incredibly elastic, plastic man-like proportions.
Yeah, but the nice thing with the size of his
shoulders,
he can actually completely make his arms go all the way around his body.
All the way around. Anyway, he failed miserably.
Why do you favor rape?
Larry. Don't ask me, Larry. Ask him.
I like rape.
That's just not funny.
You people are idiots.
Okay. Don't you understand anything about us?
Don't you understand? They're gay.
Every day you call us gay.
I can't believe it. These guys are fags. These kids are fags. Hey. I can't believe it. No. With their
stop calling us that name.
What is he, a faggot?
Hey, listen. It's okay. It's okay.
It is okay if you're gay.
Right, Regis?
I guess the word is anal.
Anal.
Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
Peter North.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. I think he like 10 to 12 times
wow.
at one point.
How about that, Simon?
What do you think, Jackson?
What's it look like?
Looks like baby vomit.
How about the phone number?
Let's pick up the phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Our true oldies, 105.9.
There is one short memo for Mr. Paul Harvey.
Yes, sir.
A simple, sincere thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
For allowing this broadcaster the chance to realize a childhood dream.
To have my voice heard on perhaps the poorest run radio station in America.
Again and again and again.
True oldies. Right.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Oh, come on. That's our job.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Every time's a good time.
I'm not happy.
No, you're not. How about you, McCain?
I grabbed this dynamite.
Let's see if Buzz is around today.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Oh, there he is.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
That was funny.
Thank you, Larry.
Here is Ed McMahon.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Oh, miss you much. Miss you long time.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome.
Welcome. Don and Mike Show Monday. Hope you had a fine weekend. How the heck are you? And all that other stuff. Our phone number, 877-365-3636.
Did you wash your ass today?
Oh, did you?
Great to be back from Los Angeles.
Yeah, we can do about a half hour on Regis and his time-shifting schedule once we get into the show today.
Yeah, they're playing with us, and they need to be outed on that.
Yeah. But I think the only people that would even give a rat's ass...
are you and me.
Yeah. Or old queens that sit around in their robes all the time and just wait for Regis' show to come on.
Even old queens don't like to be misled. And I believe, in a way, we're being misled.
That's right.
By Regis.
Yeah, we're being gypped. I want to start today by saying goodbye to my nephew, Nick. We had a little so-long party for him. He's signed up in the Air Force, and he's got to go to San Antonio, Texas for his basic training.
Good luck, Nick.
That's a goodbye.
Good luck.
And found out something interesting at his party over the weekend, that they're still – it's almost like recruiting a college athlete. Since he signed and committed to be in the Air Force, the Marines keep calling him up and keep saying
– they want to get him on their team?
Yeah. Why don't you come on our team? You
know? Cool. Well, now, hasn't he already signed the documents for the Air Force?
Well, I'm just telling you what I heard, that the Marines keep calling him and keep saying, you know, you're Marine material.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's...
That's interesting. I didn't know the branches of the service were, you know, playing against each other all the time.
I guess they're all in the same league.
Right. That it is a thing like when you commit to being in the military, you can change teams before you go to basic. So.
It's like the Justice League. It's like, you know, Batman, Superman.
Serve as you can.
Got your Aquaman, your Hawkman. Anyway, sayonara, good luck.
Air Force gets them, right?
Yep, Air Force, six weeks of basic training.
Cool.
And I guarantee it's the coldest of cold, wet slaps that this young man has not had before.
I'm sure. Do you think he'll do okay?
I don't think he has a choice in the matter.
No. Well, you do sometimes, you know.
He'll be fine, I would expect.
No, I don't think he has a choice.
But I've known people that have, you know, it's not always a pleasant choice, but, you know.
No, he won't go code whatever it is.
He won't.
Yeah, he won't leave camp, and he won't go nuts. And
DUR?
Everybody was having a good time calling him Private Pile.
What is DUR anyway?
That I don't know.
I'm thinking of Officer and a Gentleman, you know, when they go to flight school, you know. Do you want to do, is it DUR? I think it's a DUR.
We'll check.
Something about being, you know, dropping out.
I think we've had that before.
We've had that discussion before.
That very discussion.
We never remember what it is.
Oh, listen, here's another thing from the weekend. I want to get this out right now. This will be, boy, the more I realize with my retirement around the corner, there are some issues that I'm just going to have to give up on in my ongoing debates with Mike and with everybody, it seems, about some things. Will Ferrell. Goodbye, ass.
Don, I am so glad you've seen the light. I couldn't be more proud.
Let this be my final statement on Will Ferrell.
Thank you.
That's closure.
He may make a comeback after I leave, but I want to say there could not have been a more perfect environment to see this film. We were at the beach over the weekend.
Right.
We had had a very nice time. Then outside, the weather was so delightful. We're out walking our dog on the beach.
Had you already fulfilled your family obligations?
All done.
Yes.
Sunday afternoon, we hit the theater, and it's just what you want. Nobody in there.
Ah.
I mean, it was an Elvis screening, just she and I. And
that can work both ways. If it's a great comedy, sometimes you want to share the laughter. But, I mean, usually, I first time I saw Something About Mary, that was in an empty theater. So I enjoyed it thoroughly.
But it works. And I thought going in, I said, oh, this has the potential to be great because nobody's here.
Right.
I can really laugh at the stuff that I want to laugh at.
Right.
And then the movie started. And I counted the times that I laughed.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Okay.
I only laughed once. And I only laughed because I laughed at how retarded Janet was for laughing so hard at something on the screen.
So your laughter was mocking laughter directed at her.
The laugh
and not at anything you had seen on the screen.
The laugh-o-meter is at zero.
Wow.
Zero.
And it was the number one movie in the nation.
Don't care.
Just this week.
Don't care.
Well, thank God you have finally realized what all of us have realized for so long.
And listen, he opens it up the way that you would expect. You know, it's him with his shirt off, you know, doing all the poses.
Showing that little scar on his stomach that he's not embarrassed of. Hey, you know what? He's not embarrassed about taking his clothes off.
What? I think that this makes Blades of Glory look like Animal House.
Wow. I would not be able to tell you. I haven't seen either one of them.
It is so bad. It's not a comedy. It's a combination of white men can't jump and Will Ferrell wants to just dance around like an ass. Woody Harrelson's there. Of course, he doesn't do a whole lot to help out the funny part in the movie.
Is there anything? I think all comedies occasionally will have some nugget of reality that the comedy springs forth from.
One moment.
Is there any basis at all? So this is a completely contrived situation.
I'm thinking, is there a catchphrase? Was there some nudity? Was there a moment when I just couldn't?
Would there have been one of these basketball game teams ever? Was there any league like this? Did it exist?
Sure, there was. You know the ABA.
But this is really not even the ABA.
It's based on the ABA on a fake team in Flint, Michigan.
All right,
called the Flint Tropics, and it sucks.
I get it. It's Flint, Michigan, but they call themselves the Tropics.
It just sucks on every level. And it was like,
how's his wig?
Awful. He looked like the guy in Room 222.
Yeah,
remember the guy burning in Room 222?
So it actually made you angry. It was so bad.
Yeah,
good.
Check my watch. You want to know the official first check of the watch?
Please.
7 minutes into the film.
Horrible.
That's bad in comedy.
And at that point, poor Janet, it became like watching a movie at home with me because no one was there.
Ah.
So they'd do stuff, and I would just turn to her and just say it loud because the movie was loud. God, that sucks. That's just not funny. She's like, shh, quiet. We're in the theater. No. Around. What? Like, I care if the projectionist hears what I have to say?
You're telling me there's not one moment, there's not one Anchorman moment in this movie.
You know, and I told you that there are some that are a slow burn, and you go back later and you say, yeah, maybe there's a point here or a point there.
Mm-hmm.
No, not unless you, like, consider the speech where Woody Harrelson gives, where he, and I mean, I'm being totally facetious. There's a scene where Woody Harrelson rallies the team, you know, and says, hey, guys. If we want to win, we really got to start playing basketball. We got to know what basketball is about. And that means we're going to go through drills. And that's like you're watching the movie Hoosiers.
Yeah. So it's kind of serious.
Yeah, because there's like 20 minutes in the middle of the movie where you see them practicing without a basketball, which is something teams do when they really suck.
Well, Woody Harrelson, another one, quite frankly, who has been blessed with the lucky stick like no other actor I can ever remember. I mean, Woody Harrelson was the dumb guy on Cheers.
This one bit him. Boy, it's a bad movie. This is a bad one. Don't go. It's a stinker.
Does it open your eyes to any of the previous body of Will Ferrell's work? I go all the way back to the suck-ass Cheerleaders.
I never liked that, but I did like Elf. Right. I stand by Elf. I stand by Anchorman. I stand by Ricky Bobby.
I will give you Anchorman. That Anchorman made me laugh a couple of times.
Same and Ricky Bobby's got its moments. But
I have not seen Ricky Bobby in its entirety.
All I can say is when I divorced myself from Adam Sandler was Big Daddy. This was a worse breakup than when Adam Sandler came out with Big Daddy.
Yeah,
really? It was like, ugh, never again, never again.
After bad taste.
You know, I wish we had the comedy actors that could sustain these movies, but unfortunately we don't. We have the Adam Sandlers, we have the Will Ferrells.
The only plot that I think I'll go to see now would be a movie called Will Eats a Gun.
No, what it's going to be now, do you think Will is going to slowly but surely make the change? Make the transformation where you'll see him show up in a supporting role in a drama.
Well, he already tried in that halfway in that movie.
The Emma Thompson movie?
Yeah. He tried to be a serious guy like Jim Carrey, and that didn't work for him.
And now Jim Carrey, where's Jim Carrey? Well, he's Horton.
Yeah.
That's what Jim Carrey is now.
Anyway.
Or is Steve Carell Horton?
It doesn't really matter,
Mike.
They're kind of interchangeable, aren't they, those two guys?
Yeah. Jim Carrey is Horton. Steve Carell is the Who.
Thank you, Robbie. Okay. But the real news of the weekend is this, and I am not making this up, my hand to God. Phone rings on Sunday, Janet's cell phone. She looks at it, and she says, I am not taking this call. And I said, who was it? It went to voicemail. She said, it was my cousin.
Cousin Brain?
Right. I said, pick it up. Go get the voicemail and see what he wanted. Yeah. She gets the voicemail. He says, I'm going to be in town. I want to talk to you. Please. So,
but he says that a lot, even if he's driving a long distance.
She's looking at the telephone, and I said, don't do it. Just don't even. And like he's watching. Five minutes after he's called, her cell rings again. And she picks up and she goes, it's him again. I said, either he forgot something in his message, or I said, whatever, pick it up. Let's deal with it. Bite the bullet. Yeah. She picks it up. Hello? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, well, that's nice. Uh-huh. Well, that's really tough. And at that point, I don't hear anything at all. She's like walking away from me having this conversation with him. Right. She's doing her nervous pacing.
And it's kind of a one-sided on his end. He's doing most of the
talking.
Yes,
she's doing a lot of listening, and she's just saying, yeah. Well, you know, and she keeps starting to try it, to start a sentence like, well, you know, Brian, it's...
You know!
And that's all the farther.
She walks back over by the kitchen table, and she says, well, you know, and with his work schedule, she's talking about me, I guess,
right.
And at that point, I just said, give me the phone. And she looked at me like, don't. I said, promise, I won't. Give me the phone. Hey, Brian, how are you? And he said, hey, I want to let you know, just telling Janet, I'm going to be back in the D.C. area. I have to do some consulting work. Uh-huh. And I've got a hotel. And and I really feel badly about the way that everything worked out. And I would like to take you guys out to dinner. I would like to take you out. You name the restaurant. My treat.
Wow.
And I said, well, maybe Janet explained to you that I'm kind of a creature of habit and Monday through Friday, generally speaking, I don't go anywhere.
Right.
Like after the show, I don't go anywhere.
Right.
I go home and I decompress a little bit. And it was at that point that I lost him because he didn't understand what I was saying. He said, so you're telling me you never go out at all after a show? I said, oh, okay, occasionally, yes, if we have an appearance or if it's a very important deal. You know, a charity deal.
Right.
You would not be
do that important to me.
And he said, so what about it? You picked the place. I just want to make it right. And I said, seriously, dude, Monday through Friday, we don't go anywhere. Ask your cousin. We don't go out. He said, I can't believe that it's ending like this. And I said to him, I don't know what's going on with you. And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, we went through this whole thing when you came and stayed with us, and like Janet's family has talked about you, and I talked about you. And he said, yeah, I feel really awful about it. And I said, and I just give the phone to her. And really, that's what I did. It was just like, like Arnold. It was seriously
right.
A Schwarzenegger moment.
But you just couldn't go on with him.
Because I was about to tell him to get bent. So I give the phone back to Janet, and again, it becomes the one-sided conversation.
Where he's playing on her sympathy, probably.
He's talking and he's talking.
He's laying the guilt trip stuff. That's what he's doing.
Then she says, he wants to talk to you again. And I said, sure. And he said,
Okay. I understand. You're, and he said this in a very condescending way. He said, I understand you're a performer. Janet tells me it's like a rock band coming off stage that you need to decompress. I can relate to that. I'm a pro. You're a pro. I just want to make things so right. How about I stay one extra night in town at the hotel? Won't bother you. Just really want to take you out to dinner.
Right.
Really want to just make it right. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and what she was saying was like, that's what he's been saying. And I said, no, thank you. And he said, pardon me? And I said, I think I speak on behalf of myself and Janet. No, thank you. And he said, well, this is incredibly rude. And I said, I don't know you from Dick.
Yeah.
Janet doesn't know you from Dick.
That's the bottom line.
And then it started to unravel when I said, you know, I think maybe we could do that if you first paid Janet's dad the $50 or $75 that you owe him.
Oh, you went into another arena. That'll get him off the phone, though.
And right away, I see Janet's eyes just as big as saucers.
Sure.
Like, what are you doing?
What are you doing, Bush, baby?
And he said, well, I know nothing about that. I want to tell you something. I've been in this family, blah, 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 blah. I said, hey, dude, all I know is that after we talked about you, it came up that you owe this man some money. So if you pay him back his money, then I will consider allowing you to buy me dinner. And it was at that point, finally, I had hit him over the head with it enough.
Yeah.
He finally got it. It was like he went, oh, okay. I see how it is. All right, that's fine. Well, you won't be hearing from me again.
Bingo. Like, okay. Mission accomplished.
And the problem is what?
Mission accomplished.
Well, congratulations.
So that's the update.
That's the whole thing with this guy. Whew. He doesn't really understand what other people. No, he understands.
They make themselves thick, or they are thick. I'm not sure.
I think they know a lot more than they let on. And you know what? I believe that he wants to feel better about himself.
Well, too bad.
So that's why he did what he did. This is probably the first time in his whole history with the family that he's been called out on stuff.
Yeah, gee, let me think. Stay overnight for an extra night just so we can go to dinner with you. Gosh, maybe I could reschedule the appointment where the guy was just going to run a drill bit through my forehead. And maybe I was, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm having all of my teeth extracted with a guy with a pair of pliers on Saturday night.
Well, the guy is probably not going to contact you again.
I can't do it.
I would think.
But,
you know what? I don't know whether that's true, though.
He will.
He'll get in touch with her again.
Well, she has to be strong.
He'll probably call when you're not around.
He must know that he is not preying on someone who will fall now to his into his trap. I believe I left it at such a level. The guy is truly pissed off.
I'll be curious if he finds her father and provides restitution for him.
Yeah. I threw in all kinds of stuff. I said, I just want to tell you something, dude. Listen, I've only known Janet a couple of years, and her family seems very nice, and we're down here visiting, my late wife's family, and they're like my family. I said, I got to tell you, you're one in a million. Nobody in either one of these families has heard of anybody like you. I don't know if you're a flim-flam man. I said, a word came up, and I mean, now it's coming back to me, the stuff that I said.
Yeah. Flim-flam,
I said,
man.
A word came up that maybe you're familiar
you're
with.
You're using words from The Sting.
I said, a word that was used on this show. I said, for all I know, you're a grifter.
I love that one. I love that one.
And he was taken aback by that. And he said, oh, I am, and he gave me his whole resume.
I said,
I don't care what your security clearance is. All I know is that Jim, Janet's dad, told me to make sure that you didn't take any of my silver. So this was a pretty good.
What did Janet think about all this?
She was just standing there, and she had her arms folded in that way that was like, she was half liking it, half dreading it.
Is she laughing at all at any of it?
No, not at this point.
All right.
So we finally got done, and we hung up, and she said, well, what am I going to do now? I said, what do you mean? What's the problem? And I came up with a solution. I said, hey, you know what? You want to just stop this, nip it in the bud right now? Call your dad. Your dad's big on the party line. Call your dad and tell your dad that this dick is coming to town and saying he wants to buy us dinner. But we said that he has to pay your dad the money back first. I said, I guarantee if you just call your dad, I've only met the guy a couple times, but you call him and tell him, he's going to pick up the phone and call cousins and call grandkids and call brothers and sisters. It's all going to come back to this guy. He said, this is the type of thing your dad lives for. to bring this
so
bastard down.
He'd enjoy this.
Yeah. And as I left today, when we were up at the beach, and I came right from the beach here, as I was walking out, she was on the phone with her dad. And I said, how's that going? She had a big smile on her face. Give me the big okay sign.
Good. Well, obviously the father knows the history of this guy.
Good.
And apparently he's heard from other family members about
this guy. Yeah, he has. This guy that won't go away. It's weird. And like I said, it's not because he likes either of us in particular. I just think it's his way. And I think you guys are also right that he's just never had anybody say no to him before.
Well, probably the first time ever. And I think really Rob's probably right. You will hear from him again, or she will hear from him again.
That's
definitely you've hit him over the head with it, so he knows that there might not be a way of darting around you in this situation. But I don't trust the motivation for coming down and buying you dinner. I think there might be something going on there too.
No, I believe it.
I mean, it's not like he'd be in your pocket. He knows he's not going to be able to do that.
It jives with his job, mm-hmm. with what he does. Okay. You know, which is scary because the guy does have a rather important job, and to think someone that's working on our national defense.
Did he ever get insulting? Did he ever get rude?
He took a tone.
Yeah.
He took a tone with me.
Taking a tone. You taking a tone with me?
Yeah, I can deal with it. I don't care. All I know is Janet played the right way with her dad because I heard the beginning where she said, yes, he called. Yes, he did. Well, dad. But dad, this is, no, okay, dad, he took the phone. Yes, he did. Uh-huh. Yes, he told him about the money. So, just give him the big, okay.
Well,
he's out of your life.
For this week.
I believe so.
For this week, he is.
I believe so. So, anyway, goodbye, Tool. Whatever you're doing with your protractor or staying at your Best Western, whatever you're doing, enjoy it. Enjoy laying on your bed, watching your Spectrovision, having your church's fried chicken or whatever it is.
Well, he's just lonely. Listen to me.
Probably.
I'm the very first one that made the grifter accusation.
That's true, you are.
Know? He's lonely. Look what you've done to him. I mean, he's so he's so lonely now.
And Janet said, and I didn't even know this about her. You know, I know someone a couple of years. You don't know everything about them, of course, with their extended family. She said, you know what I bet he's going to do? She doesn't think he's going to call us again. She said, do you know that I've got family going all the way down to southern Maryland, all the way down to, like, by the Virginia border? Or the North Carolina, Maryland. I mean,
she's got family all over?
All the way down there.
They breed. She's from a family of breeders.
Yeah, I said, yeah. She said, I would bet. She was talking to her sister. She said, the smart money now is that he's going to go to somebody like around the Richmond area.
Uh-huh. Right.
That they've got some sort of
third. Get the newsletter out.
Third or fourth cousin down there.
Send out the APB.
Maps.
Send
diagrams.
It out to all the family members.
And if I told you the guy's job, it would blow you away.
I'm sure.
He seriously, he's one of those guys. When it happens. Mm-hmm.
This guy.
He's got the pass to get into the Ark.
Okay. Sure.
Wow.
As the way I understand it.
Well, so he says.
Well, he also sure did like flashing around his little.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm saying with everything, you got to take it with a grain of salt, you know.
You're looking at the world's biggest cynic, please.
I know.
Well, as a matter
of fact, that too might be, you know, he sure seems to hide behind that a lot.
You know, when that originally came up, whenever he was around the topic of his badges and stuff.
You know what the rule of thumb with those kind of guys?
Oh, I know.
The guys that have the real clearance are the guys that will never tell you that they do anything.
Right. When he was flashing his badges around, at one point, I went upstairs to Janet, and I said, do you think I should wear this downstairs? And it's one of those windbreakers the DEA guys gave us when they break into houses and stuff.
Yeah, it's just a little something I wear around the house to be comfortable, my DEA jacket.
I said,
here's my FBI hat. I got this at the airport. You remember when we got those years ago and how cherished those things were?
Yeah.
And what would we say now? That you can get the same kind of hat in an airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can, but you can't get some of the stuff that the law enforcement has been nice enough to give us over the years.
But this is years ago. We had a time when we just really craved all that kind of cop mm-hmm. stuff. You gave us a cop hat or a DEA hat or an FBI hat, and, you know, we'd be out of our minds.
I got about three windbreakers that just would knock your D in the dirt.
And they're not that fancy, though, because they're silk screen.
You know
they're not embroidered.
You know why they're great? Because I got one that just says ATF.
Yeah, in yellow letters.
Yeah, and it's like, bingo.
Right. Take that out to the mall.
I got another one from a law enforcement guy. U.S. Marshal.
Right.
Very cool.
Right.
How great is that? And that's all it says on it.
Sure.
That's all it's. I don't wear it anywhere.
Right.
But it's nice.
It's the equivalent of you and I wearing, like, cowboy hats and six shooters.
Yeah, it is.
It's really what it is. It's cowboys and Indians. It's cops and robbers.
Plus, let's face it. Let's say that you saw me and I had an ATF jacket on. Either you got to think I'm the best undercover cop in the world, or I'm just some dope with a jacket. I don't really think I could pull it off. You know, stop, or my mom will shoot.
Right,
freeze.
Right,
you never know.
Freeze right there, Jackson.
Well, I'm supposed to be getting some new stuff soon. I'll try to bring you one.
Oh,
a new shirt.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that you've got the inside to all of the good cop stuff now.
I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 badges at my house on Saturday night.
Wow.
Yeah, and probably 5 guns too. There were probably 5 guns, too.
How many did you have?
I didn't have any.
Sure.
I didn't have any. No, just, hanging out on a Saturday with, my buddies in law. Same guys that I go down to the hockey games
with. Yeah, I know.
In law enforcement. And it just seems as I'm getting older, just kind of gravitating to that. That seems to be who I, the guys who I say.
Being in the company of law enforcement.
It's not couples, per se. It's really mostly kind of boys' nights out, and these guys.
Are you like the ride along buddy?
I could ride along. I could go anywhere. Right now, as far as a ride along, I could probably go up in a helicopter. I could probably go on a cruiser and stuff. But I like hanging out with these guys socially, and my one of my best buddies, he's a little bit nuts.
You want to flip
out?
So
I'm not sure. I want to hop in the car with him.
You want to flip out, Joe? Get in the helicopter and just have him shine the spotlight on his house.
Fly over his house.
Just go. Might be out of their jurisdiction, but fly it over Joe's house. It's just they're fun. I'll tell you, cops and disc jockeys, I think we have the same morbid sense of humor. I believe I told the baby joke a few times. The one that didn't win on Make Us Laugh. Uh-huh. The machete one, that was the one that I told a few times. And, it's that dark sense of humor cops have because they have to. And they kind of, rah, 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 rah.
Rob Spiewak writes, if you guys wore a jacket that said ATF, people would say it's misspelled. It's F-A-T.
Just redo the letters. Actually, I got from another radio show, I got a jacket years ago with yellow letters and say it said AMF on it. It said AMF.
Uh-huh.
Very, very happy about that.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Here we go. Here's the first call of a brand new week.
This is David.
Without the pressure of those pesky 60-second restrictions Friday. No need to time this one out,
Robbie. Boy, if this is a good one, we could go 15 minutes with this call.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Are you listening to me?
Did you say, are you listening to you?
We are listening
yes,
to you.
Yes, I am Don and Mike.
Yes, and you are effed up. Congratulations. What are you effed up on today?
Maybe beer.
Maybe what beer. Kind of beer are you drinking?
Oh, just a Budweiser.
Budweiser? Budweiser.
Go for the king, man.
Come on, guys.
You're going to have beer. Have one of the best.
Come on, where?
That's what I say.
Could you give us a little estimate of how many you've had?
2.
Oh, God.
That's please.
2.
Lightweight. What's up? Come on, you're wasting our time.
I just wanted to say that I'm going to miss you, Don.
Oh, all of that? Send me a card.
Oh, I see. He got motivated with his liquor, and he's very, very, he misses you.
Send me a card from rehab. Hello, Don and Mike Show. They say you're going to go to rehab.
No.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Does Mike get to fire the gun like McLovin?
I don't get it.
Hold on, I saw Superbad, but I don't...
See, I didn't see that movie, so I don't know. What's he talking about? Rob, you laugh.
Oh, hold on. They did take McLovin out for Seth, what's his name? They took McLovin out for a ride-along.
Uh-huh. Is this Superbad we're talking about?
And they did let McLovin fire off
now,
a couple of
rounds. Now, who is McLovin?
He's the little kid. He's the little hairless kid
who
gets the fake ID.
Right. And has this got the same kid that was in
Arrested
Knocked Up?
Oh.
Yeah,
yeah, he's in it.
He's in Knocked Up, too, yeah, right?
They're in all the same ones.
Michael Cera.
I saw
Michael
an ad Cera. Yesterday for some movie. It's like, wicked. From the guys that brought you, The 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up. And I don't even know what the movie was. but it was just all the same people.
It's the other Boleyn sister.
Is that what it is?
Not
yeah.
Really.
I don't know. Although I'll tell you one you were right about, Mike. I just about had a hacking fit of bile when I saw Mike Myers and that prosthetic nose. It is Love Guru.
Love Guru.
Ugh.
Well, Rob cinched it for me when Rob said that the little guy. The little guy's going to be the same one.
Mini-Me.
Vern Troyer?
Yeah. There's a scene in the trailer.
He's bringing Mini-Me in again. I mean, now that's when you don't go to the well. You don't do that on a regular basis.
I am McLovin.
There he is.
Now his sidekick.
McLovin.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hi. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speak to Donna Mike.
Yes, you may. Wish granted. Hello. What's happening?
Hey, this is Dennis from Reno, Nevada.
Hey, Dennis. How are things in Reno?
Things are wonderful. How are you guys doing today?
We're wasting time with pleasantries.
All right, I'm sorry. I just want to call to say, Don, I really appreciate your show. And I had a friend of mine who was a disc jockey in Reno, and whenever you tell your stories, it warms my heart. He was a really good guy.
Did you watch that?
And he passed away.
Died.
That's a touching story.
So wonderful. It had death in it. The story had death in it.
Happy Monday.
Somebody died?
Yeah, somebody died. His name was Jonathan Livingston Soupbone West. And he was a funny character. And all you guys,
always hate to hear a member of the Brotherhood going down, Mike.
Always a tragedy, Don. This snoring warms my heart. Because you know what I hear when I hear this snoring? I hear a little boy at peace. A little boy with one hand and half a tongue at peace. Listen to this peaceful sleep. This is a sound sleep. He's out. Especially the part where he goes,
hello, Don and Mike Show.
He dreams like someone with both hands.
Don and Mike.
Hello, what's happening?
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hey, I just have to say, the brain is one of the most enjoyable and compelling characters I've ever heard you speak of.
Good series.
Well, good. I'll send him to your house.
The Brain. Last name Heenan. Bobby the Brain Heenan.
He's a fun story.
Hey, it's a fun story. Yeah, try living through it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you doing?
How you doing? How you doing? You're not the real how you doing guy.
How you doing?
No, you're a poser.
That's a pretend how you doing guy. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, about setting up Dennis and Tom with a couple of those jackets to go out with that guy that keeps bugging you.
You know, that was kind of all over there, wasn't it? I mean, setting him to go. So you put the ATF jackets on Dennis and Tom and you send them to, you know. He might not have expressed it that well, but now that I'm thinking about the idea, how wonderful would that be? You arrange the dinner. You will meet him at a certain date and time, and you send out our two best listeners ever.
That's a good idea, Mike. That's all I can say. That's a good idea.
What's up, guys?
Don't know if I want to do it.
Imagine that. Then you make it the fanciest restaurant in town. Just like a scene. Seen out of the Blues Brothers.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
You don't even need to send Dennis.
Hello. Yeah, just Tom. Hello.
Hey, Don, have you heard about the stupid smoking ban they got in Delaware? They're talking about moving it to Ocean City and all the Maryland beaches, too.
Oh, yeah, this is something that is ridiculous. Don't worry about
this
it.
This means you can't smoke on the beach?
Yeah. Only in Rahomo Beach, I think, they have the rule right now.
Well, they voted it down in Virginia, I think. You can smoke anywhere. As a matter of fact, you can smoke in daycare centers in Virginia.
It's encouraged.
I think it's actually encouraged.
I think in Virginia, isn't the rule you can smoke while your child is not in the car carrier? While your child's rolling around in the back
seat? Actually, if you want to have a cigarette, you have to unrestrain your child if the car is moving over 55 miles per hour.
And if you're not in a car, you're allowed and encouraged to smoke while giving a child CPR.
That's exactly
but only in the
is.
State of Virginia.
Right.
Which is the Old Dominion. The Commonwealth.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. Hey. I had three questions I wasn't able to get through on Friday.
Three. Okay. Three? That's awfully greedy.
Well, let's start with one. Let's see how you do with one.
Okay, I was wondering if you guys would be dropping Chad Dukes' name anytime during the show.
Chad Dukes.
No. What's your next question?
Okay. Next question was a couple of years ago, there was a guy that used to call in as Buzz's romantic lover.
Jorge?
I couldn't remember his name.
Jorge, right. Okay. Yes. So you got that one. What's your third question?
Third question is, living in Prince William County, could you recommend a fine restaurant?
I want to say, it's a long way to go for a setup, Mike.
No, what I recommend, though, is the Sunday tour of foreclosed homes.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Saw that on the news today. They actually sent a bus out to some community in Prince William County, which happens to be, well, it's not exactly where I live because I live within a city.
Right.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
I'm in a city jurisdiction.
Right.
But they said, well, the foreclosures continue, and specifically in our area, Prince William County, they had a bus tour come out. I can't think of anything that says the economy is hitting on all eight cylinders more than sending a busload of people out to go out and look at foreclosed homes because there's such a concentration of them in this one neighborhood. I forgot what the neighborhood
Every time I've seen the ad on TV that says go to www.foreclosure.com to save money on these houses, when the houses scroll on the screen, I swear to Christ, they're all from Sacramento.
Oh, really?
Really? Yeah. Yeah. I know that that's one area that in real life has been hit particularly hard, but I look at that commercial, brought a little smile on my face. I thought, you know what? Maybe there's a couple of our jerk-off listeners out there.
Sure.
Getting the rug pulled out from under them.
No, no problem at all.
And what listener doesn't hope that your favorite DJs are rooting that your home has been taken away from you?
You're praying for it every
day. There's the love.
We
every do. Single day.
We do. I hope the finger guy got his place repossessed.
Yeah, him too, that guy. And isn't the finger guy the one that, who's the alimony guy that calls me all the
time? Same guy,
Mike. Same guy?
Mm-hmm. Also the open reader guy.
Right. Hope he has his stuff out on the street.
Also the, hey, Don, I want to talk about race guy. That's right. He's got all those different aliases.
Exactly. Want to see that with the sheriff knocking on his door. Just like in a Michael Moore movie.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, I love your show, guys. I've been listening a couple of years now. I just want to say I'm really going to miss you guys.
No.
Well, one of us is staying.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I should mention the aforementioned alimony. Right. Thank you.
Alimony.
Hello, I'm Al Imoni.
I'm Scott Shannon. You might notice that the sweepers on 105.9 are just like the way we've talked about him for years.
This is really, really important for anybody that lives in the D.C. area. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like to promo another radio station.
Oh, who cares? It sucks, so we can
but
talk about
sucks.
It all
it
day
does.
Long.
But let me tell you, if you have heard us doing this for years.
I'm Scott Shannon. Stand by for news.
And you have wondered. Really, how accurate it is. I turned on that radio station the other day, and I called you right away.
Mike called me this on Friday night.
You had said this is a guy, this format for the radio station, a guy, a bunch of records from his basement, and it sounds like it.
I'm not kidding.
It sounds, and it's all him. You know, they blow out the entire air staff, don't keep anybody around even to do like a local weather forecast. They just have these little stagers, these liners that are coming out of this guy's basement. Here's, and it sounds, you know, specifically,
record.
It sounds like your impression of him when you're doing, hello.
Here's the thing. The guy was one of my mentors,
right.
Scott Shannon. You know, I love the guy. Mm-hmm. He came up with this thing, this true oldies format, basically for broke dick AM stations.
Right.
For small market stations where you want a real turnkey operation where you don't need anyone there to run it.
Did you hear the drop-in that's got the reverb that sounds like they did it on the reel-to-reel tape machine?
Yeah.
Instead of like a real reverb, it's got the hello, 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 hello.
All of the positioning, and those are the sweepers, the things that go, they're all the same. They're like,
and that's all you're hearing that now because they don't have an air staff, nor will they have an air staff?
No.
Wow.
They will not.
Real oldies live here.
So they will not have anything other than the sweepers and him.
No, that's cost-cutting on behalf of Citadel Broadcast.
Right. You get to hear him every record, though.
Real oldies in D.C. are back.
He loves that kind of stuff. He loves the melodrama. And you know what?
Hello.
He's a dramatic kind of guy.
Yeah. Sure he is.
He likes dramatic oldies. He like, you know, because he's got all the ones that, you know.
He seems to enjoy the sound of his voice.
He does.
Do you
Maybe
think
it's me.
So?
Maybe it's me. I don't know.
Well, one, you know, he is not a he is not a voice guy in the great tradition of Dude Walker.
No.
He is a guy that does a morning show.
Hello.
Performer.
Right.
He's got a voice like that.
He's an entertainer.
The oldies are back. Now, keep in mind.
DC, you've been waiting for it.
I don't want to slam this guy. He's a friend, a mentor.
Of course.
This is awful. This is something really that belongs in the smallest of small markets on AM stations that nobody listens to.
Right.
This is no way to run a radio station in Washington, D.C., for God's sake. This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing for Scott Shannon.
It sucks because this company, Citadel, going around the country, is letting go a lot of people that do this for a living, and a lot of people are getting slashed. Yeah. And our good friend Sandy Weaver, same thing happened to her down in Atlanta.
Yeah, I read that today.
You know, it sucks. It's very unfortunate.
Not to get up on that soapbox, but when I was interviewing the newspaper, one of the things I said, I've said this, radio, the music radio specifically, they want to be an iPod. And that's like what the Shannon format is now. You turn it on, and there's no disc jockey. There's no interaction with a real person. There's no talk over any of the records.
Right.
And it's basically the same 300 records, just in a different order every day. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
And the people that put it together, the radio guys that put it together, think, not only do we save cost on this, but people will like it because it's like an iPod, because there's nothing there that they can complain about.
Right.
Because it's all the safe songs. Like, let's play My Girl by the Temptations every single day.
Hey,
let's play Groovin' by the Rascals every single day. And no disc jockeys, no. Just one disc jockey.
No need.
Hello.
DC's old, and that's the way it sounds. Oldies are back.
Oldies are back. I'm Scott Shannon. That's the only
thing. This has
got to
be one
do.
Of his biggest deals, Mark, I would
it's
think.
It's already
right?
on. It's been on in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Oh. That's
on FM or AM?
On FM. On WLS FM, wow. As a matter of fact.
Jeez.
And for a while, that's where... Remember I told you my buddy John Landecker got blown out?
Oh, that's right.
That's where he got fired from.
You know, this does seem to be a bit of a trend, but our own company, CBS, has proven if you put the old disc jockeys back on, you can be very, very successful,
right.
You know, which they did
on
when
CBS
they
FM.
When our guy came in and kind of reinstated the DJs back on CBS FM, a great old radio station. Why is it great? It's not. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you. The music is good. Sure, if you like that kind of music, oldies. But what's really nostalgic and fun is listening to the old disc jockeys.
Right. And they don't have to be old. They don't have to be decrepit old.
The older disc jockeys.
Old style. Guys who do radio and that stuff, there's two stations like that in America right now, CBS FM and K-Earth 101 in Los Angeles.
Right.
Everything else is just a joke, and this thing that's on 105.9 is ridiculous, goddamn ridiculous, please. Hello. Hey, I'm in my basement and feel like playing Little Anthony and the Imperials.
But you're playing it like, as you said, an iPod. That's what's frustrating.
Yeah. Hey, DC. And that's the other thing that someone should hip him to. Mm. Really, do people here call it DC? It's like signing a station on San Francisco and going, hey, Frisco.
Right. You
know, here's what you say. Sometimes you say, oh, we got to go downtown. Or sometimes you say, do you want to go to the district?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what you do. You do. Why don't you go to those guys? Now, I understand it's cost-cutting as well. You go to those guys that maybe were playing jazz. And say, anybody want to, play some oldies?
No, you know why, Mike? Because you might have to pay those guys.
Yeah, I know.
Union scale.
Sorry. Trust me, I know.
And can't do that. Sorry, Al Santos. See you on Classy 95.
Very, very frustrating. Very, very frustrating.
Sure is.
Been waiting.
Although I did see.
But the one reverb that I heard was with the tape machine where it said, hello, 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 hello.
In the bloodbath at Citadel, this company that fired all these people. We talked briefly about this one cat, Chris Core, that got fired here in Washington after 30 years on the air. This guy's just a jerk, but I won't get into why. It's a personal thing.
Right.
I was looking today. Did you see his website?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, talk about sad.
He didn't waste much time.
It's like.
I hate it.
Chris Core is available. Someone who knows about Washington radio is available. It's like, oh, it's sad, man. Just don't buy ads on internet sites. Just go underground, and if you're good, someone will find where you are. And for God's sakes, when you
doesn't it make us all look bad when he does that? It really does. I mean, to put the website out there that's just like this glorified classified ad. I mean. And obviously, he was surprised by this move on Friday.
Well, they all were.
They all were. But, I mean, to right away, you would think that a guy that's been doing it that long would be able to network. You know, and there but for the grace of God go I.
Of course.
You never know. But
of course.
It just makes me, it pisses me off
but Mike,
because he makes us all look light when he does that.
In the case of Chris Core, though, you have to say this. And I'm going to try to be objective about this.
Right.
Take my personal feelings away for the guy. You look light because there are people in this industry that are getting S-canned every day. Mm-hmm. You hung on at a radio station for 33 years. You hung on because the guy you worked with for a long time carried your ass. And then after he left you, you changed up what you do to pretend to be a Republican to get by for 33 years. You worked at one place for 33 years, and you got fired. I read in the newspaper, incidentally, I've been fired, I'm not kidding, at least 15 times in radio. At least. Everybody in radio has been fired. It is a fact. It offends my sensibility when I read on this guy's website, I had to go home and break the news to my wife and my teenage daughter. I told them we'd be okay. I only came to tears, though, when I thought about all of the money my listeners have raised for charity over the years. Please. Mm-hmm. This is my ass. Kiss it.
Right.
If you care, sell everything and join the Peace Corps. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, shut your pie hole. You'll find a job. Please. My God. Is that the best you can bring to the table, Chris Corr?
After that many years, I would think there'd be some other options. And it leaves a bad taste in all of our mouths.
So now, Chris Corr, you know what it finally feels like to get fired in radio.
Right.
And you know what? And guess what? You know what everybody listening to you on the radio has experienced already in their lives. So bully for you that you were able to get yourself together and tell your family you'd be okay, because let's not forget that huge severance package you got. You'll be okay, but I really just want to thank my listeners for donating money. Here's the truth, Dick Wad. If your listeners had listened more and reported it, you wouldn't be fired. Maybe if more listeners had listened and fewer listeners had contributed a dollar at a time, you'd still have a job, you jerk. You know, if you want to work in charity, go be Jerry Lewis. Seriously.
That's a good gig if you can get it.
If you want to be on radio, stand up like a man. You get fired. Everybody gets fired. You go, wow, I had my nuts cut out from under me. I had my legs cut out.
I was surprised to see the website. I was surprised to see the I'm Available website, which is really what it is.
Desperate.
And he's got it on the the local radio TV website here in town.
On DCR TV.
He's got it on there, and it's just, I don't know. Made me feel kind of creepy.
I understand.
He's all over that thing. His big pop-up ads. It's embarrassing. Like, what PD is going to look at this thing and go, hey, ChrisCorrTalks.com. Radio host knows DC better than anyone else. Now available. On his site. And this is just, God, it's like how to be a pussy. Is this the message you want to give to your family?
The primer.
About how you react when the S hits the fan?
It's very strange. Very unusual. And in a way, it appeared to be kind of out of touch. That's the way I looked at it. I mean, to immediately have that out there.
I'm sure after 33 years.
Many
it
thanks.
Just seemed a little weird.
Many thanks for all the good wishes following my departure from WMAL. As I said in the post, I'm a huge pussy, so I'm going to say I'm grateful for the great years I had there. My only regret is I didn't say goodbye to my listeners. What's next? Golf and Nats games in the short term. I'm available. What I like to do? I have a teenager to put through college. In addition to my years of radio, I have experience in political analysis, sports, public speaking to groups large and small. That says to me he does birthday parties. MCing events. Hello, bingo. Public relations and marketing, voiceovers.
Sure.
I hated that website.
Where's male modeling on that list?
I don't know. He's a hand model. Yeah, right. Hey, if he's going to go to those Nats games, though, after listening to the news today, he might want to take Metro down there.
Yeah.
Did you hear that today?
No, what? I'm sorry.
You know, really, we're getting excited about the fact that we're going to have a brand new baseball stadium here in Washington. Yeah. Metro is already saying they will all of their extra cars on weeknight games are already being used for regular rush hour, so they will have no additional cars to use. So they are asking, this is March. They are now asking people to stagger their departures so that they can manage the traffic that's going to. What they're in effect saying
is
they will
not
have enough Metro cars to take people to the baseball game in a major market city that has a new baseball stadium.
And that is precisely
Jesus.
Why.
God!
That's why there's no sizzle around this.
It's ridiculous.
Do you hear anybody in D.C. saying, oh, I just said it, D.C.?
The Nacion's Capital.
Do you hear anybody around here saying, man, I wonder what that ballpark looks like, or I want to go see?
No, this is the first news story I heard about it. And you know I'm a big baseball fan. And frankly, there's a part of me that's pretty jacked that we have a new baseball stadium in D.C. But they say, they come out with this story and they said, well, the fact that the parking situation down at the new stadium is also going to be a bit strained.
Uh-huh.
So these are two things they just decided not to figure out before
parking.
They built the stadium.
A little parking shortage.
You know, God, that pisses me off.
Can I just get back to the fact that Chris Core has...
He wants to work for the Nationals.
He has a minor in Spanish.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Well, that's great.
Well, that's very good in this day and age.
Chris is also recognized as one of the region's best master of ceremonies and speakers.
Now, that's stretching it a little bit, isn't it? Isn't that really stretching it?
And I'm sorry,
bit?
It's on his webpage. I'd like documentation of this, please.
Paul Berry's the best one at that.
Because it simply says his name.
Mm-hmm.
It says on his website, Chris has raised millions of dollars for charities.
Oh, see,
including,
they say that. It's not really true.
Right.
Now, hold on. I'm just reading from his website, Mike. Chris has raised millions of dollars for charities, including Fisher House, Children's Hospital, Leukemia Society, So Others May Eat, Boys and Girls Club, Catholic Charities. That's great. How'd you do that, Chris? Was it when you did, like, a radiothon with the rest of the radio station and everybody else? Chipping in their time and the station going like 3 days in a row doing nothing but doing Jerry Lewis type telethon, radiothon things.
You see, what Don means is when you say that you have raised money, no, the organizations and the people that donate have raised the money.
I think he went door to door.
Hold on, Mike.
If he penned a check himself.
Would you put this on your website if you were looking for a job? Talkers Magazine has put me in the heavy 100 five straight years as one of the nation's most influential talk show hosts. That was more about Talkers Magazine. We talked about that.
God, I hate that. I hate that, especially in this climate. This difficult climate for all of us.
Oh, boy. That's embarrassing. Well, somebody should tell him just to fix that thing up. And God, for God's sakes, doesn't he have an agent?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how you do that stuff.
In this
you do it behind
age,
the scenes, and you do it with an agent.
Usually.
Don't get a little thing together. And if you're really strapped, why don't you go to some of those charities and ask them for a loan? Since you've raised millions of dollars, and that's all you are crying about.
No, what you do is you kind of go behind the scenes, and you set up meetings with other people, and, you know, that's how it's done.
Right.
Maybe they'll loan him something.
A friend of mine had that happen to him, and, you know, and that's what you do.
Well, Missy... And little Chrissy, I want to tell you something. Daddy got fired today, but I'm okay. I'm mainly concerned about all the people that I help. You know what? Hey, Daddy, make a website. You know what, Chrissy? I just might. Hey, Mom, put some coffee on.
How many years has it been personal between you and CC?
Oh, God, Mike.
Many moons, right?
Would be 1979.
This brought it all back to the surface.
Long time. I'm just trying to give some objective advice. Mm-hmm. Who would hire a guy looking at that?
Right.
Have a little dignity, Chris. You know, walk away from the situation. Let your name go out there. And if you need the name of a good agent, well, ask Buzz.
Yeah.
Buzz has all those agents' names on his roll.
He knows all of them.
Buzz will tell you to call Saul Foose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which prison is that again?
Saul Foose, do you think he's out of jail?
Yeah, he is, I believe. I don't think he's still behind bars.
Saul Foose is one of the guys that was stealing money from disc jockeys.
Oh, I can't imagine that would be possible.
And he ended up going to jail because
disc jockeys are so bright with their money.
Yeah, he ended up.
There is one good agent. I forget his first name, but his last name is Gold.
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 Yeah. It could be any number of names, Rob.
Yeah. But go with them.
Ari.
Ari Gold. That's right.
Right. Ari Gold.
Not Harry, but Ari.
Right. Ari. Ari.
Oop, got to hit a break here. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.